and continue to answer frequently asked questions about God and Christianity. God, the universe, and other things, as they say. So, we've answered some questions about God. How do we know there's a God? Who is God? What is God? We answered questions about Jesus Christ. Is he Jehovah? Did he rise from the dead? Was he born of a virgin? Where was he when his body was in the tomb? Then we answer questions about the Bible. How do we know it's reliable? How do we know it's supernatural? Why do we use the King James? Then questions about salvation. What about those who've never heard? What about other religions? Does Christianity really believe that Jesus is the only way? Can we lose our salvation? And what happens between death and the final resurrection? So we answered those questions. And then we started this section on man and evil and sin. And so the first question is, why do I exist? We answered that. And then why is there evil when God is good? That was a tough one, but we answered it. And then the last week, the devil. Who is the devil? Where did he come from? And why did God allow his rebellion and so forth? Today, a very sobering question, but also a very important question for us as believers in the Bible, and that is, is there a hell, and is it eternal? So it's a very common question, is it not, about hell? Is it for real, or is it just like an allegory? And is it eternal? Up to this point in the church history, pretty much only a couple of the cults taught that hell wasn't eternal. It's always been believed that it is eternal by basic Christianity, but like say the Jehovah's Witness and the Seventh-day Adventists over the past 150 years or so have been teaching that it's what they call annihilation. And what that means is that God just, if you're not saved, God just zaps you out of existence and it's over. And believe it or not, that teaching is starting to take traction among Christianity, this teaching of annihilation. So we need to answer the question, first, is there a hell? And second, is it eternal? Both, they're kind of separate questions. But the first question is there a hell? So what do you believe are the biggest arguments that we hear coming from the world as to why people don't believe there's such a thing as an eternal hell? I'm sure you've heard them. Anybody? Jackie?
Because they said God's a loving God, he wouldn't send people.
Right. That's the biggest argument, is that most people believe that it's excessive based on the crime, right? The crime is we've sinned, we've broken God's laws, and people look at eternal hell and say that's too excessive of a punishment. Therefore, it can't be so, right? Kind of like the argument about evil. They want things to be in the people box instead of the God box. And we say as humans, it just isn't logical, right, that hell could be eternal, that there could be eternal suffering. And therefore, it must not be so. So they come at it from the angle of logic, obviously, rather than what the Bible says. But that is the biggest argument, is that it just doesn't seem fair, if you will, that a loving God, a kind God, would send people to eternal torment. There's other arguments. Many people teach that fire consumes, and if hell is fire, then you go there and you get burnt up and it's over. Some teach that there are certain places in the Bible where he uses the word destruction, and destruction implies that things are completely destroyed. But the argument that's coming through of recent has to do with immortality. We actually had a lady come here on a Wednesday night a couple times recently, and she said that some Baptist in Auckland wrote a book about it, and therefore it must be true, that hell isn't eternal. And the argument is that when God created man, he did not create us to live forever unless we receive eternal life. In other words, the lost don't have immortality naturally. That only the saved have immortality. Does that make sense? That a person doesn't have immortality until they get saved. So that's the biggest argument of today, is they believe that the Bible doesn't teach that an unsaved person is immortal or lives forever. So we're going to look at some scriptures today, which is what we're doing, answering these questions from God's Word, and make sure we understand what God says, not what man thinks or logic says. And those are often two different things. For example, when the Jehovah's Witness come to your door and try to tell you that Jesus is not Jehovah, their biggest argument isn't scripture. It's logic. They'll say things like, well, how could Jesus pray to himself? Or when Jesus was on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How could God forsake himself? And you hear these questions that they throw out there and you think, well, that is kind of tough to comprehend. So so they come from this argument of logic rather than scripture. We have to come at everything from the understanding that the Bible's our authority. Amen. And that oftentimes some things may not fit into our logic system, but God's ways are higher than our ways. And God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we have to always come from that perspective. So we're going to just walk through the scriptures and just look at what the Bible has to say on hell, whether or not it exists and whether or not it's eternal, and let the Bible answer for itself. This is not one of those topics that's obscure, is it? The existence of hell. So I wanted to start in Daniel because even in the Old Testament, God talked about immortality of man. So here in Daniel chapter 12, Brother Scott, if you would read verse 2 for us. There's an interesting statement here at the end of the verse that implies immortality.
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
So notice it's talking about the resurrection. Now remember, they're just looking at things from an Old Testament perspective. But it says that some shall awake to everlasting life. So we know who that is, right? That's the born again. But it says some shall wake to shame and everlasting contempt. So does that not imply that even the lost will be resurrected to shame and everlasting contempt? So this is Old Testament talking about that even, yes, the lost have immortality. Now, immortality and everlasting life are two different things. We understand that, right? By immortality, what I mean is when God created us, he created our soul to go forever. Where that soul spends forever is up to us. That's what I mean by immortality. So immortality, in other words, living or existing, I should say, forever is different than everlasting life. Because life means we're connected to the one who is life, which is God. A person who spends forever in hell isn't connected to God. They don't have everlasting life, but they will have everlasting death. You understand? And death in the Bible isn't talking about existence or non-existence, is it? It's talking about being separated from life, which is God. And that's important that we understand as we walk through. So we'll pray and we'll just look at a bunch of scriptures and make sure we get a handle on the answer to this very important question. Is there a hell and is it eternal? Okay, Lord, give us wisdom as we look into your word. And I pray you'll use the scriptures to speak to our hearts and to guide us into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go to the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. So we'll start in the Gospels and see what Jesus had to say about hell. So, Brother Phil, if you could read Matthew 5:22, and then Beryl, Matthew 18:8-9. So we'll start with Matthew 5:22, Philip.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
So Jesus, very early in his ministry, warned us about hellfire. Okay? Barrel of Matthew 18, 8 through 9. So here Jesus uses the phrase everlasting fire. This is the words of our Savior talking about everlasting fire. All right, so Matthew 23:33, Mark Zeus, if you could read that for us. And then, who can I pick on? Kelvin. Matthew 25:41 and 46. So Brother Mark, if you could read Matthew 23:33. So now Jesus has not only mentioned hellfire and referred to it as everlasting fire, but now he's also referring to it as damnation, the damnation of hell. So we're starting to get an idea of hell just from the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 25, 41 and 46, Kelvin. So here he uses again the phrase everlasting fire, but then he also says everlasting punishment. So this argument about fire consuming, punishment isn't everlasting if it ends, right? So the punishment is everlasting. So now Mark chapter 9. Who can I pick on? Any volunteers over here before I move on? Maggie, Mark 9, a short passage, 43 to 48.
And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched.
So is Jesus trying to make a point about cutting off limbs and taking out eyes? What's the point? What's the point of this whole passage? I mean, that's something we all would dread, right? Is losing a limb, losing an eye. But what's he saying? That hell is worse, right? That hell is much, much worse than these things that we all fear and dread. He's saying hell is worse than these things. And over and over, he talked about the fire that is not quenched, the fire that never shall be quenched. This particular passage, by the way, this verse 44 and 46 and 48 has been removed from all the modern Bibles. They found it a bit too unpleasant to talk about the worm not dying and the fire not being quenched, so they just cut them out. But they are in God's preserved word. Amen. Anyway, we're starting to get an idea from Jesus Christ, hellfire, everlasting fire, damnation of hell, everlasting punishment, fire that never shall be quenched, the worm dieth not. These are the words of Jesus Christ. All right, Luke 16, let's go there. Brother Jim, if you could read 23 and 24 of Luke 16. Now, Luke 16, obviously the Seventh-day Adventist Jehovah's Witness have to teach that it's a parable, because if it's an actual story, then they're in trouble, right? So they have to teach that it's a parable. But of course, Jesus uses a name. He's never used a name in a parable before, Lazarus. And in this passage, also, if you look at all other parables, all other 50 parables, they all use things here on earth that we can comprehend to teach us some sort of spiritual truth, right? But that's not what this is doing. This is telling us about things that aren't here on earth. This is telling us about spiritual things. This is an actual event that happened with Lazarus and the rich man. So Luke 16, 23 and 24.
And in hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
Do you see why they have to make it a parable? Those who teach that hell is, that there is no hell, essentially. Because if this isn't a parable, then their teaching falls apart, doesn't it? Because here we have someone who is conscious in hell. They're speaking, but they're also tormented in hell. So again, they have to make it a parable to get away from the clear teaching of what happened. All right, now again, talking about the lost, Philip, if you could read John 5, 28 and 29. I think that the Daniel passage and this John 5 passage pretty much answers the question about do the lost exist forever? I won't use the word live because they don't have life, but do they exist? So John 5, 28 and 29, Philip. So this is saying that when the final resurrection occurs, it doesn't say that only the saved will be resurrected, does it? It says all that are in the graves. So the resurrection is everyone. That's what it's telling us. This is Jesus speaking. And he's saying at this resurrection, everyone will come out of the grave. But some unto the resurrection of life, and some to the resurrection of damnation. So as unpleasant as hell is, which it obviously is unpleasant because it's a place of torment, that doesn't change the fact that it's real. Amen? And that it exists, and that Jesus, these are just the words of Jesus. We haven't even gone into Paul's and John's writings yet. Just the words of Jesus, he's made it very clear that there is a hell, and that hell is eternal. Now, when you think about the world and their perspective on God, and we've already talked about that, but also their perspective on judgment. I know this might sound too simplistic, but what is our number one motive for getting saved? Is it because we just can't wait to love Jesus? It's to not go to hell, isn't it? I mean, that's the basest real reason why we get saved, is it not? I mean, yeah, we can be all hidey-flighty about it and say, no, I got saved because Jesus is just so wonderful and I just wanted to be one of his. No, you got saved because you needed saved. And the word saved means that you're being rescued from something. Amen? If someone's drowning, they need saved. They don't need a lecture. They don't need you to send them a book on how to swim. They need saved. And we need saved. Jesus, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So if we're getting saved, we're getting saved from something. Amen? And that is the judgment for our sin. He died to save us from our sins. He's saving us from something. If hell isn't real, and if hell even isn't eternal, then what is there to get saved from? Think about it. If annihilation is true, and we're going to look at a bunch more scriptures, go to 2 Thessalonians 1:9, but if annihilation is true, which is creeping through the churches, if you go to a lost person and say, listen, if you don't get saved, God's going to zap you out of existence and you'll never be conscious again and you won't know what happened. Is that really that bad? A couple of seconds of pain and then it's all over and you don't care anyway? Think about it. Wouldn't most lost people say, well, I'd rather just live like the devil, and if it just means God's just going to say, you were bad, boom, you're gone, just like evolution teaches, and you'll never think or be conscious again. Is that really that bad? But if you teach them and what the Bible says, that no, hell is real and hell is eternal. That's something that we need saved from. Amen. That's horrible. It's eternal damnation. It's terrible. We need saved from that. And that's why Jesus had to go through so much suffering and pain and death to save us from that. So you can see the different perspective. So let's look at some writings of Paul now. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Where did we finish? Beryl, if you could read that for us. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. So it's not just from the words of our Savior, which is enough, but it's all through the New Testament. Everlasting destruction. There it is again. All right, 2 Peter 2:4 through 9. Mark Zeus, could you read those for us? 2 Peter 2:4 through 9, which shows us the original creation of hell. To reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. What God is doing in this passage is giving us some examples of his judgment in the past. Is he not? And he starts with one that took place before he even created man. And that was his judgment of the fallen angels. And from there he goes to the judgment of the flood. But he also makes a point of saying that Noah was a preacher. You know, we often think of Noah as the boat builder, which he was. But he preached for 100 years while he was building the boat to tell people that they needed to get on the boat. Amen? And, of course, if you study it out, the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ who rescues us from damnation. But people had a chance, is what it's saying, that Noah would preach for 100 years. And not one person responded. Imagine that. Not one person listened or cared what Noah had to say. All they had to do was walk up that ramp and get on that ark and they could have survived. Not one person did. Then it goes from there to Sodom and Gomorrah. And how God destroyed them with fire, essentially fire and brimstone. But he finishes by saying that God will deliver the godly out of temptations, but he'll reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be what? Punished. So he uses the word punishment. All right, let's go to Jude 6 and 7 now. Brad, could you read those for us? Jude 6 and 7.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, that left their own habitation, he has preserved the everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, given themselves over fornication, and going after strange flesh, have set forth as examples of suffering and vengeance of eternal life.
So again, now Jude is using the fallen angels and Sodom and Gomorrah to teach us some lessons about God's judgment. And what did he do with the angels? Everlasting chains under darkness. He punished Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. An example suffering what? The vengeance of eternal fire. The reason we don't want to believe in eternal hell is because it's so horrible. And the honest truth is, and we're going to look in Revelation now, Revelation 14, 11, we'll go there. If we really believed in an eternal hell like we should, now we obviously believed in it enough to be born again, amen? But let's be real. If we really believed in it, and I'm including myself, if we really believed that every person that we work with, every person in our family, every person that we come in contact with who does not trust Christ as their Savior is going to suffer eternal damnation, wouldn't we be more excited about warning them if we really believed it? And that's really what it comes down to, is we really don't want to believe it because it's so terrible. And it is. It's terrible. It's God's judgment upon sin. And we'll talk later about the crime and the punishment, but let's finish looking through the scriptures. So Revelation 14, 11, Kelvin, could you read that for us, please?
And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night to worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name.
So does Revelation 14:11 teach annihilation? Yes or no? No. No rest, day or night. Annihilation means it's over. You don't have any consciousness. You don't care. It's over. This says they have no rest, day nor night. And this isn't talking about the angels. It's talking about people who reject the Savior. And this is about people in the tribulation who worship the Antichrist. They worship the beast. And they chose to receive the mark of the beast during the tribulation. And they will have their place in this place of torment, no rest day nor night. You cannot teach annihilation and believe the scriptures literally. It's that simple. You just can't do it. It's just not in the scriptures. All right, so let's go to the ones that we know well, Revelation 20, 14, and 15. Brother Scott, if you could read those two for us. Revelation 20. Actually, if you could read 10, just 20:10 for now.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
It's sobering, there's no question. But tormented day and night forever and ever. And then, of course, 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The only way to avoid the lake of fire is to have your name written in the book of life. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Life only comes from Jesus Christ. This is the record God hath given to us, eternal life, 1 John 5:11, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Your name must be written in the book of life. Life comes only from Jesus Christ. And then we'll finish Revelation 21:8. Philip, could you read that for us, please?
All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone,
which is the second death.
The lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I use this verse a lot when I'm sharing the gospel with a lost person, because most people, as they're hearing it, they're thinking, well, I'm not really abominable, and I'm not a murderer or a whoremonger or a sorcerer or an idolater. But then God throws in, and all liars. And then he just got every one of us, didn't he? And all liars. In other words, we're all in that category. So we all deserve to go to this place. And why are we not going to this place? Because all of those sins have been paid for and bought and forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we are now justified through him. Not because we didn't do those things, but because God covered them and forgave them. Because he's a loving God. But is hell real? How could you read all of these scriptures and not believe hell is real? You have to basically take the Bible and undo all these scriptures, either by making them allegories or by spiritualizing them somehow. But to try to teach that hell isn't real is just not believing the Bible. But even to try to teach that hell isn't eternal is not believing the Bible. Jesus told us over and over, the writings of Paul over and over, Peter and Jude, and now the final book of the Bible, all make it very clear that hell is eternal. And so, do souls go on forever? Obviously they do. That's what we read in Daniel 12, as we read in John 5 and other verses, everlasting contempt. And then Jesus said there in John 5, the resurrection of damnation. So yes, even the lost go on. They don't live forever, because live is the wrong word. But they exist forever. When we hear the word life or live, it's talking about being connected to God. We receive life from the one who is life, the source of life. The Bible says until we're saved, we're dead. We're eternally dead. And that's very important. So when we share the gospel with the lost, are we supposed to soften it and say, yes, we're all sinners. We all start with sin. And the Bible says everyone's come short of the glory of God. We've all failed God. Then when we talk about the punishment of sin, do we say, and those who don't get saved, God's going to wipe them out and they're not going to care anymore? Or do we say, no, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the Bible teaches that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. It's real. Hell is real. And hell is eternal, and it is a place of torment. And that's all bad news. But the good news is that God became a man. Amen? And lived a perfect life and was willing to suffer and die to pay that price. Now that's love. You can't get any greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the love of God, that he was willing to pay that price. So what about, we'll finish, what about this argument again, that it's excessive for the crime? That's one of the biggest arguments from a logic point of view, is that everlasting torment is too excessive for what we've done, for our sins. Is that true? Anybody? Is it excessive? Who gets to define excessive? Who sets that rule? You see, that's the problem, isn't it? In our logic, we may think it's excessive. Who cares what we think? This is God we're talking about, who's holy and righteous. How many times have we sinned? Anybody been keeping track? Well, for the lost, God has. Look in Revelation 20 again, and it says, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Yes, God's keeping track. How many hundreds of thousands of sins have we committed? Maybe millions? I wouldn't want to think about it, because I'm born again and mine are gone. Praise the Lord. And that's something to praise God for every day and to praise God for eternity for, like we talked about. We talked about evil. We're going to spend forever saying, thank you so much, Lord, for giving me eternal life when I didn't deserve it, for forgiving all my sins when I didn't deserve it. Thank you. We're going to praise him forever for that. But how many times have we broken God's laws? How many times have we violated God's holiness? You know, we talk about repeat offenders in our legal system, right? How many times have we offended? I'm talking man. How many times have we sinned? Anybody want to estimate? We'd be wasting our time trying to estimate, wouldn't we? If you sinned 3 times a day, that's 1,000 times a year. So if you're young like me, that'd be at least 60,000. But we all know we sin more than 3 times a day, don't we? So let's make it more like 600,000. Or let's just go for 1,000,000. 1,000,000 violations? Think about that. So is it excessive? Well, according to the Creator who gets to set the rules, it's not. And that's really what it comes down to, authority. We want God to fit into our box. He doesn't. He's God. He does what he does. He is sovereign. He is in control. He wrote it all down for us. And by the way, when it comes to hell, God is not ambiguous at all, is he? Jesus did not beat around the bush when he taught about hell, as we read. You've heard people say he talked more about hell than he did heaven. It's true. Really, he didn't say much about heaven. John 14 is one of the only passages where Jesus, from his own words, talked much about heaven when he talked about the mansions. But he sure talked a lot about hell. So it really comes down to this. People who are going to teach there isn't a hell or that it's not eternal, they just don't believe this. It's that simple. There's no other way around it. Questions, comments? I know I went a bit over. Nobody?